Blog Talk Radio.
Monsters radio station, and at 6 p.m. on Sundays, this is the Sunday show with Jack Jodell, Wayne Johnson, and myself, Gwendolyn H. Berry. we do a roundtable discussion. I'd like to make that clear for anyone listening in. Jack represents the progressive end of the table, and Wayne represents a more conservative view, but sane, and I am just a liberal pacifist. I mean, you know, I get wrapped sometimes. I'm a little anarchist once in a while, but basically I'm just an old-fashioned liberal, and that's who this roundtable is. Basically, we're for sanity. last week we had a guest. His name was Ryan Hartman. He's running in a local race here in Lake Worth, Florida, which is a little bastion of really deep blue in a blue part of the state of Florida. We've got a lot of activists and artists, and a lot of very creative people in this little town. And the city commission is having a local election, and Ryan Hartman is running for one of those commission seats. And we had him on last week. I liked what he had to say about especially the homeless population and how to work on solutions for it. It's a contentious race here. And I know some of the folks are listening in to see if there's anything local. And that was last week's show, so they should check our archives. And before before the 15th primary date and the voting down here, I'd like to get some of the other candidates on. I don't know how far I'll get with that, but I just wanted to mention that. And I also thought before we brought our guest, Ronald Feynman, who's been with us before, the author, on, we could do a few minutes about what's gone on this last week. I would say this, first off, you know, I was never a neocon fan, and I didn't really think Mr. Reagan was that terrific a president. Yeah. I didn't think he was horrible. I didn't think he was really spectacular either. I do think, though, that whenever we lose a historic American, especially one that many people love, like we did today with Nancy Reagan, we should take a moment and say, you know, rest in peace, lady. Thanks for your service, you know?
True. Very true. I agree with that.
It's the decent thing to do. And so there you have it. And now we can go and talk about the delightful conversations they have in the Republican debates about the size of their manhood.
I know, right? Everybody, every man in the country and women are pulling out the rulers to check how their man gets up. We now have the litmus test here of what one is.
You know, the Republicans made their bed. They made their bed. They can lie in them now. They can lie in them now. While others are out there saying that the Republican Party is just cooked now, I don't think that's really true, unfortunately. But I do think that the structure of the Republican Party is going to be greatly rearranged before it's all said and done to the next presidential election. And I want to thank the Republicans for this. They've given us some wonderful fodder to get the hell rid of them as governors and state legislators and House and Senate representatives. I hope people understand, especially the candidates running, that there's how much they can work with there to get the Republicans out of office and do it. Just do it.
They're so reactionary. They're backwards looking.
Absolutely. And Professor Ron Feynman here, that's our guest today, we have a personal relationship, and he knows that I have posted on his website or his blog site and stuff years ago about the 2005 one-on-one conversation I had with Jack Kemp about warning him about embracing this far reactionary right and giving them validity within my Republican Party. Basically, I said it was going to rise up. And basically, the way I think I like to word it today is the inmates have taken over the asylum. The Klansmen, the John Birch Society, the fanatical religious right, they all embraced it, matter of fact, and they referred to it as whipping up the nut jobs. This is the Jack Kemp stratification mentality of the Republican Party at that time, because they thought it was a demographics that could easily get motivated at election time, get them into the polls, but that they had their own hubris thinking that they would be able to control them.
Do you know what Trump's saying? And I'd like to know from a Republican like you what you think, because I know you're a good conservative and you resonate with good old conservative Republican values. I get that.
Thank you.
And I have to ask you, what do you think about the fact that so many people who have left the Democrat Party and gone independent through the last presidential election, this is the spin doctors talking on television,
right,
saying that
they're not wrong. Go ahead.
So many people are, well, I think they're a little skewed, but so many people are coming out to vote for Trump. He's brought a bunch of new people into the Republican Party. Do you think that that translates to general election?
Well, here's to go back to, the Democrats leaving the Democratic Party and registering independent. Well, I would add that the independent registration is the fastest growing demographic. So really, it's a political party within itself. And it's not only it's the moderate Republicans and the moderate Democrats, and or those more conservative. I would also point out that the Democrats of the South were really very ultra conservative, the Blue Dog Democrats. And it was back in the days when my former governor of Maryland, Spiro T. Agnew, we had a racial riot with H.R.A.P. Brown in Cambridge, Maryland, Dorchester County. That wasn't like 20 miles as the crow flies from where my farm is there, back in like 67. And it was Pat Buchanan, who was basically a speechwriter for Richard Nixon before he started running for that election. He was getting ready to run and pointed Spiro Agnew out to Nixon as, here's a man that's motivating people and switching people to their party. They sent Spiro Agnew down south, and basically, it's those people kind of speeches that's all your problems. They're riding the street, they're getting uppity, they're showing themselves, and henceforth you've got a lot of those Democrats in the South registering as Republicans, or later on eventually leaving the Democratic Party, independent party.
I'm asking you about now. Do you really think actually the numbers don't favor that kind of an onslaught nationally? But it is true that many Democrats are sitting out these primaries right now in a lot of states. I personally think that's because a lot of these Democrats can't choose between Hillary or Bernie, and they're just waiting for the general. I think that's a great number of people.
Jack, I hope you're right.
Tend to think you are right, yes.
Yes, go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, I tend to think that if you look at the Electoral College situation, there's no way the Republicans are going to get 270 the electoral votes, because basically there are 18 states that are blue, and I don't see Donald Trump taking any of them or any of the other Republicans, and that's 247 electoral votes. It's only 23 short, and there's like 8 or 9 swing states, including Florida, and of course Obama won all 9 of them. You don't have to win all 9. If he wins, if Hillary or Bernie win Florida, they win it. If they win Ohio and Virginia, they win it. If they win like Colorado, Iowa, and you know, and I guess New Hampshire, they win it. And I mean, to imagine they're going to lose enough states to get under 270 in Electoral College, I cannot imagine it.
Ron, do you think that it's possible that the Democrats will take California?
Well, the Democrats are guaranteed to win California.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm really, Ronald knows his numbers, so I'm and his rules. So did you vote today, Ronald?
I actually voted yesterday in Palm Beach County, yes.
Yeah, we've already done the deed.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because my son lives with me, and I didn't ask him how he was going to vote, and we voted differently, and I'm very proud of him.
No, there you go, yes.
I voted for Bernie, and he voted for Hillary, and I'll certainly accept Hillary, but I decided to vote for Bernie. And so but I was saying, wow, you actually voted differently. That's good. Yeah.
It's really great because Democrats, especially down here, the ones I've noticed, are not too – they're okay, so you're voting for Hillary. I'm voting for Bernie. You know, I'm in a real Bernie zone here, big-time Bernie zone.
Well, I got to tell you, as I've said on other radio shows, if I had my way, I'm a one-man campaign for Joe Biden to come back. Because I still think Joe Biden would be the best president, but obviously it looks like there's very little chance of that happening now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to say, for my listeners out there, I want to say that I have known the professor, that's what I call him, the professor, for the last 2 general elections. And he has nailed it verbatim on his projections of the way the elections are going to go. I'm very proud to know him and want to tout that aspect that I can verify what I've seen firsthand is when he calls a bank shot, it's a bank shot and it's in the pocket.
Well, I can just tell you on my blog, I did project, and I did project on December 31st, 2015, that Hillary Clinton would be the nominee, would pick Sherrod Brown, Senator from Ohio, to be her running mate, not others that have been talked about. Reason being, I assumed that Kasich would be on the ticket, either end, in Ohio, and that Ohio is the crucial state. And I came up with a conclusion, and I may be wrong this time, that Hillary will win every state that Obama won, except, get this, Florida, she will lose. And I had projected Rubio would be the nominee, which maybe is not going to happen now. But even if Trump is, I think Florida will probably go Republican. But all the other swing states, I think, will go Democratic. And that means instead of 332 to 206, which was the electoral vote in 2012, it'll be 303 to 235, state less, 29 less. We'll see if it works out. And if Wayne is right, or if indeed he should be ashamed that he says he knows me.
No. I'll tell you very highly, sir.
Excuse me, Ron, have you seen the numbers of people coming out, people of color especially, who are coming out for Hillary? In this state, too. I mean, I bet you...
Overwhelming.
Florida.
Yes, Bernie has a problem. I don't know why. He can't get many people of color behind him. I'm not really sure why, because he was in civil rights in the 60s, University of Chicago, even though John Lewis didn't know him, Congressman Lewis, but he has been a civil rights advocate for a long time, but for some reason, he just, maybe because he's from Vermont, which is very white, maybe that's why. I don't know.
He was arrested many times protesting for civil rights.
Yes.
You guys are not paying attention to Hillary Clinton's record and how much she has accomplished in school programs, in children's health, especially among the people of color in this country. It just stuns me that people.
Well, she's been in the spotlight a lot more than Bernie Sanders has.
For 25 years, she has been on their side. And when people say, I don't get it, I'm like, Are you kidding me? Did you do your homework? Do you understand? It's like saying that, you know, she's on the board of Monsanto. It's bullshit. She spoke about them at an agri-seed business convention in 2014 when she was a lawyer. She worked in the offices in Arkansas where they had business going on, but she never worked on any of their cases. However, her husband does business with Monsanto through his trust. That it's not Hillary who does. I mean, this is propaganda shit that all of us are better than that. We should know the real facts. You know,
well, we've got it. We can't just jump at something we hear and go with it. We've got to investigate a little bit, and we've been advocating that since day one on this program.
Absolutely
Jack.
Absolutely.
Well stated.
The truth
and
is,
our guest
dig
next
out
week
the truth
would
really
say Google that
facts.
Shit.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
yeah, may I interject that, you know, I've never been an overly great fan of Bill Clinton because I've never considered that he was the kind of Democrat that we should expect. When I was teaching years ago, when he was in the White House, I said he's a Republican, not
yeah.
a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in many ways he was and is, and I think she has moved to the left because of Bernie. She's become more to the left. But
right.
I don't think his record on civil rights is as good as people make – Bill Clinton, I mean, as good as people make it out to be.
Right.
We have to remember the crime bills of the 90s and drug bills and all that have actually harmed the black community more than others. And I do think in 08 he did not do a good job in the way he spoke about race in South Carolina in the primary. I actually have said I think if he would just be quiet, it'd be better for her. I think the less he speaks, the better right now.
Mm. All right.
Good point.
Well, people are saying that, I know. I don't happen to think he brings that much to the table anymore myself. But people, you have to remember all the programs, everything that's been done, especially by Hillary, for people of color and people among the First Nations, too. She has some very special relationships there. I know that several First Nations are backing Bernie, but she's working with chiefs and nations for years and years. And if you don't have that kind of stuff to actually look over, and it kills me why she doesn't, why her team isn't putting that on the table, why they're using her wonk factor instead of the work she's done. But I want to say this, I want to get this one in. I mean, she's the candidate right now who's out there saying that what we need in the country is more holism, more coming together, and a lot more love and kindness out there. Anyone who would have said that would have had my heart.
And she addressed that this past week.
She's done it a lot, actually.
Yep.
But yeah, that was her last week. That was her acceptance speech. Winning was. She said that, and she said it with emotion. You know, she put her heart on that one. You could hear a pin drop in that room. And that just doesn't happen at political, happy moments. People don't stop cheering. You could hear a pin drop in that room. And she took advantage of that moment. And she did it really well, I thought. And her message appeals to me. It really does. In that regard.
Yeah, I wanted to say, if I may interject, that I think Hillary has become a better candidate because of being challenged, and I think that's a real benefit that Bernie has done, that he's made her a better candidate and more inspiring than she was, I think, 6 months ago.
I do,
Professor,
too.
You
agree.
Nailed it right there. You nailed it.
And the media, they want conflict, they want spectacle, so they're trying to play up this Bernie and versus Hillary thing, and it's just foolish. The fact of the matter is, and I believe it will happen, the Democrats have to stay together and not fight amongst themselves, and I've been saying this for a long time, too. Otherwise, they hand the White House to the Republicans as well as a number of senatorial races. So we have a golden opportunity to take back at least part of Congress, and we've got to make sure that happens.
A
Plus, the Supreme Court lies like
the Supreme Court is the most important reason voting, because that is the next generation, because it's been 44 years of Republican appointments being majority, and now it can change, even if not this year, and that is the long-term effects of constitutional law, and that's just too important. Even if one does not love Hillary or Bernie, you have to back them, whoever is the nominee.
Exactly.
Thing. That's the thing, you know, that's a huge thing right now. A lot of the young Bernie supporters are going on MSM and talking about the eventuality of Hillary getting the primary for the Democrats, talking about voting for Trump. That's, you know, one of their...
That's a small number.
Well, I don't know. That's a religious, that fanatical right. Again, they were right. When I was talking with Jack Kemp 10 years
ago, like
where it was, that's what I'm saying. They are highly motivated to push their agenda. The thing is, and they do come out and vote when many of the more progressives or more moderates stay home and sell us what happens, kind of an attitude. And henceforth, that's why we got what we got.
Well, that's why you can't – it's in a bad strategy to stay home out of protest. If you stay home out of protest – you're handing the election away, and that is,
you're basically
that is
voting
absolutely
for the other
stupid.
You are voting for the other person.
Yeah, and I must say that I think Ted Cruz is more dangerous in a certain way than Trump. I mean, Trump is dangerous and he scares me to death, but Cruz is so much more extreme on his record. Well, Trump might not be that extreme in actually in office, but I don't like the way he does things with his Hitler salute and things like that. But Cruz is really terrifying.
Yeah, you know, and here's Cruz's wife now, just in the last few days, coming out with this could be the second coming of Christ stuff. What a bunch of nonsense.
That's the stuff that everybody should say.
That's going to knock him out of votes there.
And his preacher father makes him look sane, which shows you how insane the father is, you know.
Professor, let me pose this question to you now. Excuse me, guys. This upcoming election and all the controversial candidates and the polarization that we have, and then knowing that you've got a recent book out, and I've read it, it's very good, basically giving the history of each and every president, the demographics, and it's just a very good read.
On presidential assassinations and threats, yes.
Thank you, Garrett. Right. Yeah. I want to ask you, what right now would be your biggest concern or fear in this upcoming campaigns and this upcoming election here.
Yeah, well, I've been writing on the Hill.com website and also History News Network. I've expressed real concern that assassination threats, or maybe, God forbid, more than that, could occur with all the rhetoric, invective, and steam going around. And Trump certainly has had Secret Service protection. Sanders has finally gained it, thank goodness. Hillary, of course, gets it. I don't think Cruz has it. He probably should, because I think that we're really in danger of one nut somewhere. And figuring this is a way to become famous or infamous, and maybe hopefully it wouldn't work out, but you never can tell, because 48 years ago we had a candidate that was doing very well in the primaries, Robert Kennedy, and then he was killed suddenly, and that transformed that election. And then four years later, George Wallace was paralyzed for life while he was actually campaigning and doing at that moment pretty well. Now, maybe we didn't like Wallace, but that's nothing to do with it, whether you like somebody or not.
Well,
you don't want violence to happen,
no matter who it's against, you know.
Yes, and I think Trump and Sanders, particularly Hillary, Cruz, I think they're all in danger, and there are crackpots out there on either side of the spectrum, and also maybe ethnic groups because of what Trump has said about Muslims and about Mexicans. It's a dangerous situation. There was somebody already arrested. They wrote on Facebook, a Egyptian national who talked about killing Trump, and he's going to be apparently deported. And I have it on my assassinations page on my Facebook account. So I mean, there's already threats, and I just worry someone's going to get hurt.
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
So
the thing is, I'd also interject, is the John Birch Society, which was started by the Koch brothers' father.
Yes.
Back in
Fred
the Koch. 60s. It was the exact same verbiage and venomous and nihilistic statements whipping up against Kennedy that a lot of historians have said, this did a lot to lead to his assassination. And there, I mean, you look at what was written back in the early 60s against Kennedy.
Yes.
What's been written currently about the current President Obama. And what has currently
threats that anyone since Lincoln Obama has had, as I report in my book,
So there's a lot of whipping up nihilistic statements. And, well, it's just like the guy that the fake video of Planned Parenthood selling baby parts, and the guy took that as his motivation to go up and shoot up Planned Parenthood, and what was it, out in Colorado, one of the cowboy states here recently.
Yes. And the Koch brothers are against Trump, by the way, so I would say Trump has to worry about the Koch brothers going after him in some form. I'm not saying directly, but, you know, trying to certainly undermine him at least.
Mm-hmm. Hey, tell us about your book, Professor Feynman. What's the title of it, and what? Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, it's Assassinations, Threats, and the American Presidency, from Andrew Jackson to Barack Obama, and it has a chapter on each president who faced assassination threats. Some were killed, some wounded, some unhurt. Also, three presidential candidates: Huey Long, 1935, who was assassinated; Robert Kennedy, 1968, who, of course, was assassinated; George Wallace, who was paralyzed for life in 1972. Mm-hmm. It talks about all the assassins, their backgrounds. It points out, for instance, that the person who shot Wallace was Arthur Bremer, was stalking Richard Nixon earlier, and that could have led to Spiro Agnew being president if it had occurred.
Ooh.
And also John Hinckley, who shot Reagan, was stalking Jimmy Carter during the 1980 election, and could have, if something had happened to Carter, made President Mondale and possibly prevented Reagan from winning the election that fall.
Right.
Mondale might have beaten him because of sympathy at the recent death of Carter, if that had happened.
I
have a chapter on might have been presidents, 15 might have been presidents if history had been different, people who would have succeeded, not all vice presidents either. To some other people as well. So it's, you know, I also cover that.
That sounds fascinating.
Who did you cover in that chapter? Who are some of the people that you covered?
Might have been, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, there are people that are not very well known, like Lafayette Foster, who was president pro tempore of the Senate when Lincoln was killed, and if Andrew Johnson had been killed, he would have been next in line under the succession laws of the time, Senator Lafayette Foster of Connecticut. I had to really look him up to say, who the hell is this guy? Because he was really like an unknown, so I rehabilitated him in history by bringing him about. And then, of course, Andrew Johnson was the second-term vice president for 6 weeks under Lincoln, but had Lincoln chosen not to replace Hannibal Hamlin, vice president, former Senator Hannibal Hamlin, he would have been the president instead of Andrew Johnson, and that would have been good because Andrew Johnson was a true disaster. And then Garrett Hobart, who was McKinley's vice president but died in the first term, and then in the second term, McKinley chose Teddy Roosevelt, and that's how we got Teddy Roosevelt. It could have been Garrett Hobart.
Right.
And then we had John Nance Garner, Speaker of the House, who became Vice President-elect when FDR was shot at in Miami in Bayfront Park before the inauguration, February 15th, 1933. Had FDR been killed, there would have been no New Deal, and we would have had a conservative Texan against civil rights named John Nance Garner, who I think is one of the worst of all. And then we have, of course, Spiro Agnew, who every time I speak about him, I spoke at the Sandler Center in Boca Raton, Florida, a lecture on my book, and it was on C-SPAN Book TV, and I mentioned the name Spiro Agnew, and right away you hear the sound, the groans in the audience.
Yeah. By the way,
he's about the worst of all if he had become president, but he could have. And then, of course, there are other cases like under Truman, Alvin Barkley, who would have been fine, vice president, former majority leader, would have been president. For a period of time, George C. Marshall could have been Secretary of State. We also, of course, have the recent vice presidents who could have if something went wrong, meaning Al Gore and Walter Mondale and, of course, Dick Cheney. Darth Vader is the poem. And Joe Biden. I like to add some humor.
I was going to say, there you go.
The gunmetal polish there. Jesus.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't get that. What was that?
I said, I think Dick Cheney would have had the gunmetal polished. I mean, you know.
Yes.
That guy is.
Talking about Dicks and Trump, I think Dick Cheney we can say quite a bit about.
Although
he's qualified. That's the one thing. Dick Cheney was qualified to be president. I don't think Spiro Agnew was. That's why I see a difference. I think, you know, Dick Cheney was competent to do the job, just we don't maybe like him. But I don't think anybody would doubt his competency. But Spiro Agnew scared me to death, and I prayed for Nixon, and I never thought I would be praying for Nixon.
Professor, I would interject here that from even Daddy Bush's own book here of recent, last past year here, basically he was saying Dick Cheney was the one running the government anyway, because basically
right.
whatever he said, W went along with it. And he said that in his book, he states that Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld led his son astray and gave him misinformation and led him astray and basically henceforth poor decisions. But he did come back and basically covered himself and said, but bottom line was, it was my son's call.
Right.
And that's where my
son
said.
In the second term, Bush, too, really ignored Cheney and moved away from him. He wasn't as close. You know, so I think that he did try to separate himself, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so. Yeah, so.
That's a little too.
Anyway, my book is from Roman Littlefield Publishers, and if anybody goes to the Roman Littlefield website, they can save 30% on the book with the code 4M as in Mary, 15AT as in Thomas, AP as in Paul. 4M15ATAP if they go to the Roman Littlefield website.
I was going to say, for the listeners out there, the professor was kind enough to send me a PDF version of his book, and I have read it. And like I said, it's not boring, dry, it's all boring history stuff full of dust and spider webs. No, it is very much alive today. It's a very good read, and I highly recommend it. You should check
it out. Thank you. And I wanted to mention it has charts in it of information, which are good, and also photos and art prints as well that I think add to the book a lot.
Agreed. Absolutely.
Sounds great.
Yes.
Say, Professor, you're really on top of the political scene right now, and you know, historically speaking as well. Let's talk right now. Let's talk over this next few months in the election at the end of in early November. What do you see between now and then happening? How do you surmise it's going to end up?
What does your crystal ball say?
Oh, boy. When it was ready, I thought Rubio was going to be the nominee, and I guess it's not likely to happen now. I don't know. It's very hard. If they can prevent him, Trump, from getting enough delegates before the convention, I think there could be a different candidate, but it's going to still cause the downfall of the Republican Party as we know it. I think the Republican Party is in the dustbin. I mean, in fact, I've advocated that we should bring back the Whig Party, W-H-I-G, and bring back Henry Clay, Daniel Webster, Abraham Lincoln, who was a Whig before he was a Republican, and former President John Quincy Adams, who was also a Whig, you know, later on in his career. And I think, you know, we need people who can promote negotiation and compromise. And I think Lincoln and Teddy Roosevelt and Eisenhower and even President Reagan would be shocked at what's happened in the Republican Party of today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like I said,
I think you made
Professor
that prediction, or you made that suggestion the last time we interviewed you, and I thought about it. It's great. It's a great suggestion, because what we have right now is absolutely a disaster. Absolutely.
No,
I was going to say.
Go ahead, Glenn. Reagan was very congenial. He knew how to talk to people, but I do not think he was a mental giant at all.
No, not even close.
A bit. I do think that the last part of his presidency, he had active Alzheimer's.
Oh, yeah.
That's what his son, Ron Jr., says, but his other son, Michael, denies it, and they've broken off. They don't talk to each other, I've read, because Michael's furious at Ron Jr. for saying that.
Because Michael's a very hardcore partisan Republican.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting today. Michael, yes, he's a stepson. He issued a statement about his stepmother, and I thought, okay, but it's not your mother. But he jumped ahead of Ron or Patty doing it. I thought that was a little interesting that he did. I think it was actually out of line, to be honest. It's not his mother.
Well, he's older, and he's probably playing the eldest son type of routine or whatever, regardless of how it's only half true.
Speaking for the family of the right thing.
Yeah, right.
But he forgets his mother, Jane Wyman, was a liberal all the way.
Right.
Well,
that's true.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's interesting. Yeah. The first wife and Reagan were liberal, and their kids turned out conservative. Then he turned conservative, and Nancy was because of her father, and the kids turned out liberal. Isn't that interesting? No impact on your kids.
They're all mixed up.
Yeah. Well,
it's just ironic, you know.
Yeah.
It
what was the name of that show that had Michael J. Fox as the conservative business guy, and his parents were the PBS radio progressives? I can't think of the name of it.
I remember.
Oh, gosh. Jeez, for the moment.
Anyway, that's... I'm sorry.
Family ties, yes.
Yes, yes.
Family
ties. Thank you. Yeah, that's kind of a scenario, so... Yeah, you're right. I'd like to say that, you know, my family, the Johnson surname family, has a legacy of belonging to the Republican Party for 150 years, ever since Lincoln was president.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's how far the tradition of my family being in the Republican Party. And but I know that what is going on today, my father and my mother would be appalled.
Oh, and Jack Kemp, she said, looks better all the time. You know, even for people who may have been critical of him when he was a House member, he is such a difference from the Republican Party of now, you know?
Oh, exactly.
Well,
exactly.
Prior Republicans believed in the role of government much more than today's Republican. They don't want anything to do with the government. They want to stall everything. They don't want the government having any say in anything. They want the government to be nothing. They want it to be Grover Norquist's ideal of the government.
They're political grifters. Take a look at Rick Scott. Rick Snyder, for crying.
By the way, I don't know whether you've heard there's speculation that Trump might pick Rick Scott as his vice presidential running mate.
Oh, that would be perfect.
That would guarantee a Democratic Senate.
I cannot believe anybody would pick Sarah Palin even as babysitter. Okay?
Oh, yeah. God.
But Rick Scott, Voldemort, without a smashed nose. Think about it. Voldemort in Harry Potter looks just like Rick Scott, except Voldemort's nose is smashed.
He reminds me of Lex Luthor.
Think about it. He does look like him. Can you imagine if he was vice president and something happened to Trump?
Oh, God.
Yeah, oh, my.
No, the guy's
actually worse
he's
than
died.
Trump,
he's
I think.
Yeah, because, well, again, that's another Koch brothers-funded candidate.
Do you think that there is going to be a political bait and switch at the Republican National Convention if Trump wins enough of the delegates and goes in as the people's pick? Do you think there will be?
That would be a disaster for the party, but it could happen.
There's talk of a conservative party forming or, you know, having a candidate, but that kills anything that happens. It definitely is going to hurt the Republican Party. They cannot win. The only thing that can help the Republicans is if Michael Bloomberg, and I wrote about this on History News Network, was to run as an independent. I think he would cause the Democrats possibly to lose the election. It would certainly put things into play.
That would be, if Bloomberg did that, you know, I mean, that would be terrible.
Also, Jesse Ventura is talking about running. If Sanders is not picked, well, Bloomberg's talking about he'll run if Sanders is picked. It's just interesting. But I don't think Ventura could have much effect. But he could win a state. Theoretically, in a three-way race, he could win Minnesota, and that could affect the electoral vote, like Florida in 2000. It's possible. So there's always a danger of a third-party candidate of some renown that could cause trouble.
Yeah, they can cause problems at the least expected time.
Yes,
absolutely.
Hey, it's a little late in the day for a third-party candidate to go out there, but...
not too late, though, as far as deadlines. And Jesse Ventura, people know who he is. And, of course, Bloomberg can raise his own money.
Right.
Jack knows who he is very well.
Yeah, I never was very impressed with Jesse Ventura. He was a grandstanding, absolute idiot. And
he's a conspiracy theorist, by the way, about everything.
Yeah. He is. He's a knucklehead. He's got this show on RT now that's absolutely...
charisma, though. He's got a charisma about him, you know.
A certain amount,
just
not
like
with me.
Well, but he sort of like fascinates people. I'm not saying you and me, but in general.
Right. Yeah. Some people.
Anybody who spends as much time blowing smoke up Alex Jones's ass as Jesse Ventura does. Vote for a guy like that. But then again, all the people love Trump. It's just wild.
But you know what's interesting? The National Review, of course, is totally against Trump. They had like 22 conservatives write articles in an issue, and the Weekly Standard and Bill Kristol are going nuts over this. Bill Kristol, with his smirky face all the time, is not smirking so much anymore. He's worried, you know. That this could ruin him. I've always found him hard to watch because he's always got a smirk, as I see it, Bill Kristol, you know.
Yeah. Well, and Mitch McConnell's united against him, and Paul Ryan is snirking in the wind there in the background. Mitt Romney, what a disaster, what an absolute idiot. That guy, but, you know, it just shows you these guys are very, very concerned for their party, as well they should be.
And Paul Ryan, is anybody
they created
that Trump said,
monster.
If Paul Ryan doesn't like me, he's going to have a problem. Imagine saying that.
Right.
Speak with the House.
Exactly.
Well,
you know, they created this monster named Donald Trump, and it's their creation. Now they've got to live with their creation.
Well, they
blamed
him when he was running around hollering birther, you know, where's Obama's certificate, where's Obama's birth certificate, you know, and funding
right.
the birthers. Well, again, see, they were embracing the right, this far reactionary aspect, and now it's come back to bite them.
Excuse
me. I'm concerned about the fact that he promotes the idea that Israelis are private and they kick people out. And he calls, and he says, go after them, you know, and he promotes violence, and that's very dangerous. That's fascist-like. And also that he says that when he gets into power, he's going to go after the New York Times and Washington Post because they criticize him. What, we're going to get rid of freedom of speech, press, and assembly? Very scary, you know.
He's wacko, and he's
extreme. Gwen's trying to say something. Go ahead, Gwen.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to put an overpass mic on this.
That's right. You should.
And we do have some commentary from the chat room, and this is from Krell, and he's saying that Trump will never make the presidency, even if he gets past the Republican primary, and for some wild reason, he gets past Hillary or Bernie. I seriously believe that there will be external forces that prevent him from moving in. Now, we were just kind of talking about this talking, because this is what our guest to do is. He talks about the assassinations of presidents and what goes on around it historically. Do you think it's possible that somebody would put the hit out on him?
Entirely
well,
possible.
I do think there's danger for any presidential candidate. The way I think the way the mentality is now, and we have a lot of people who are mentally ill in this country, and they're not getting help.
Yes.
And you know, a lot of them just see, wow, I can become known. Of course, once you try to kill a president or a candidate, you're never forgotten. You're there forever. And I think some people hallucinate that's their role in life, to become famous or infamous.
Well, people
still remember the name Hinckley.
Yeah, it didn't
do
much for him, really. It made him famous for a little bit, and now he's in jail.
Yep.
Yeah, but they still remember his name.
It never got him Jody Foster.
Talking about.
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about. It's like Charlie Manson. He loves it. I mean, also, he should just open his eyes, and he's in glory because, you know.
Right. Don't forget Lynette Squeaky Frome, who actually didn't shoot at Ford, but she had a weapon on it. She was a follower of Charles Manson.
Right.
Yeah,
yes.
I know. Yeah. I did some paperwork on the Manson family. They were all, the majority of them were pretty nuts. But it was the.
Well, there was also drug induced also. They were doing a lot of hallucinogenics and things
that
like that too.
All of it. That wasn't all of it though, Wayne. It was a cult of personality. Agreed.
There were just functional people that he collected and was able to control and manipulate.
Yep, big time.
Yeah. Low self esteem.
Yep, he knew how to pick them. But, you know, it's that kind of nuts, too, that Ronald's saying is out there that poses a threat.
And a lot of them are showing up at Trump rallies.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I watched those Trump rallies, the people behind him, and I'm thinking, what's in your mind? Why are you here, you know?
Yeah.
I know. Miles and miles and miles of nothing.
Yeah.
It really scares me to death. I've never been so worried about a possible candidate for president. I really have never, you know, I may not have liked Nixon, but I didn't think he was anything like this or anybody else. This is really terrifying.
It is. It's
bad. Yeah.
But Cruz is also. Because Cruz is even more nuts. His ideas. At least Trump has a record of having been liberal in some ways, and the thought is he might end up very different than the Republicans realize. He might turn out better in some way, whatever you call better. But Cruz, I think, is so extreme. And
he's wacko.
Yeah,
and he reminds me, if you look at him, he looks like Joseph McCarthy of the Red Scare.
He is devious.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
A lot
he looks a lot. His same exact expression, the same look in his eyes, and the same
and he's half
basic
Irish.
Underlying insecurity.
he's half Irish. His mother's side is Irish.
Yeah,
and also, he looks
nuts.
Like the grandfather on the Munsters, if you think about it.
Yes, that's the one that goes around.
Al Lewis,
Of course, Lewis is older, but he does resemble him. So you notice I said Scott looks like Voldemort of Harry Potter, and then in this case, Cruz looks like the Munster's grandfather and Joseph McCarthy. Isn't that quite a statement?
Well, I love, Trump does nail it when he calls him a liar. He is a big liar. Cruz is the biggest liar we've seen in a long time. And Trump
and there we
takes
have
one to know one. Look at Trump.
Black.
He lies all the time, too.
Yeah, pot calls the kettle black. So.
You know, I see a lot of serious details in what's going on right now that align to, you know, a lot of the details in circumstance with the 1968 conventions and elections.
Yeah, my cousin sees it that way, too.
I wrote about that in the blog about the convention of 68. We could have a tumultuous convention for the Republicans now in 2016, something like 1968, yeah.
I don't see the same thing happening for the Democrats, though.
It's instead of the
Vietnam. No, I think they'll be united. I don't think it'll. But I'm saying that this could be the most tumultuous, memorable convention since the Democrats in 68 for the Republicans this year.
Instead
the once broadly united GOP.
What it's really saying right now is not the Vietnam War, but the contentious point right now that people are rallying around, my God, is the inequality of money and the 1%.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and it's huge. It transcends a lot more than the Vietnam War was in the day. So
actually, the word is huge, as Trump does it, right?
Yeah. And here's Trump. The low life, no knowledge, political fools out there think Trump's going to help the economy because he's a successful businessman. They forget that Trump started because of a loan from his father. And that Trump has declared bankruptcy four times. What's he going to do, declare bankruptcy and save the country? What is this nonsense?
Also, his love life is scandalous, much more than almost any president, except, people accept that to evangelicals. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Have a Russian in the White House. How about that, huh?
He's known in business circles, small business circles around any area that he's come into and built anything, like Palm Beach County. He's known as a welter. Because he hasn't picked people off in 20 years around here. He keeps letting them try.
And, you know, I just learned the NLRB just voted against Trump in favor of his employees who were demanding to form a union. And Trump didn't want that, obviously. And it's because he's underpaying his staff in Las Vegas compared to the rest of the people that own casinos and stuff out there. So they're raising hell about it, and they should. I hope they get their union.
Yeah, and I give Rubio credit for bringing up Trump University. What a scam that is, you know.
Right, a scam. Yeah.
Just like Glenn Beck has Beck University. It's unbelievable, you know, these people when they scam people who don't seem to understand. That's not an education.
A degree from Liberty University. I mean, I actually have one. Serious?
I'm not going to comment on that because I think if I do, I might use bad language.
There you go.
That's pretty wacky.
I'm just saying, and the thing is I'm old enough, I think most of the panel here that we have here on the show tonight here, I remember when George Wallace was running for the Democratic nomination of the presidency, won primaries before he was shot there in Laurel, Maryland. And it's the same, demagoguery that Trump is giving now. Oh, your problem is it's those people. Your problem is you're not making it. It's because of those people.
That's the nativist nonsense.
They're taxing you all this money because then they'll turn around and give it to those people. It's all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was May 15th he got shot. You got a long way to go, you know, for something horrible to happen. I just pray it doesn't.
Well, there you go. Right. And that's one of the things we brought up earlier in the show was the
it was Robert Kennedy was
choosing something like this happening.
Yeah, it's I really do worry a lot, and I've said it quite a bit on interviews, and as I just said on thehill.com and on History News Network, and you know most people I know say it won't happen. I said you're forgetting history. In fact, you could argue it's been a long time since we've had this, and we had such a slew of them.
Right?
You got to say someday it's going to happen. God forbid.
Professor, wasn't it like a statistic like every 20 some years?
Well, every zero election year from 1840 through 1960 election, the person that was elected died in office. Not all assassination, but they all died.
Right.
In 1980, Reagan was shot, seriously wounded. He could have avoided it if it had a bulletproof vest. And then in 2000, you could argue Bush was threatened on 9/11, and he was threatened in Georgia, and he was threatened in Iraq, and not maybe that serious, but 9/11 you could say was a dangerous moment. So in a way, every zero election year, the last two didn't lead to death, but there's been a threat against the president or death and whatever ever since 1840, every zero year.
Yeah, isn't that incredible?
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Interesting statistic. So what goes around comes around. Can we say that?
Yeah, I think so. And I think the more you spew hatred and nativism and homophobia and misogyny and racism, you're asking for it. You're sort of like provoking it by what you're doing. And I think that's the danger of what's going on now.
Yeah, and Trump provokes a lot of stuff out there, and that's what's very dangerous. And he's getting a lot of following. And let's hope that the Republican Party is going to self-destruct. Our fellow leftist blogger Bird Deming has been predicting it for a long time that the Republicans are just going to eat themselves and destroy their party. And I think we're starting to see that actually happening now.
Well, John,
I wonder if John Kasich can save the party as a more moderate conservative. I mean, he's got his faults too, but he, I think, would be the best bet for them as far as the best candidate that's been running this year. Just like 4 years ago, John Huntsman would have been the best, but they never go for the best. And it doesn't mean best that I would vote for them, but best of the bad group,
They have very small influence over their party. Right now, for almost anybody, it would be just like trying to herd cats. It would be damn near impossible.
Yeah.
They are so out of control right now. And they're just dysfunctional. They're a big dysfunctional family.
Check, and David's brought this up in the chat room. I mean, in 68, they put Humphrey in there instead of McCarthy over the people's will. And then there's the vice presidential nomination in 44 where Truman got selected over Wallace.
That was a disaster.
He wasn't even seeking the nomination, but Wallace was so disagreeable to the Demos that they chose...
To the establishment candidate, to the establishment guys.
Wallace would have been president if he had been the fourth-term vice president.
Exactly, and that would have been wonderful.
Bring something up that's still quite true, and one of the reasons why I'm voting for Hillary is because backroom power brokering does go on, and knowing where the bodies are buried and how to navigate the waters there is real important. Bernie, on the other hand, right now in this Democratic run, he doesn't have the same kind of brokerage skills.
I agree, and that's why I think Hillary's going to prevail. I really do.
Yes, I think so too. But one thing about Bernie, you got to give him credit for energy and stamina at almost 75 in September, and he looks old, but I don't know how he goes around like he does. I don't think I can do it.
Well, he's been very active physically for many, many years. He's in great shape. His body's about 20 years younger than he is, right, chronologically.
No.
Anyway, he does a lot of sports, I guess. So.
He did a lot of running until recently, and he did all kinds of sports.
I think we're very fortunate to have had Bernie Sanders and to have him. And by the way, it's still anybody's race to have Bernie Sanders there this year to bring the left more into it, to set a moral compass on the table for other candidates to fully embrace. And
push Hillary to the left.
Yeah, I already said that. And also to bring up the fact, I wish, though, with all of his, one-point haranguing when he gets up there, I wish once he'd mentioned the Occupy Wall Street.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
I mean, he never, never, never says anything about Occupy Wall Street, and I think he owes
him
that credit.
I never noticed that.
That's true.
He was saying a lot of the things they were saying, but he just didn't give them credit, I guess,
Well, he's riding on their coattails, if you ask me. But
exactly.
That's a very good point.
I wanted to mention that Bernie also, if you're interested in history, brings back memories of the Socialist Party in America, Eugene Debs and Norman Thomas, and all of the labor movements activities that they brought about, and the middle class creation that they helped to bring about after World War II. Because
only,
people tend to look at socialism in America as it's like Soviet communism or something, and it isn't.
Right. No, they got
and
it
I think
all
it's
wrong.
Important to have Debs and Norman Thomas recognized for the importance they had.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Bernie's come a little further than those previously mentioned fellows.
Oh, yeah.
So that's good, too.
You know how he's done it, guys? Done it. Because there's been social media.
Right.
And
that's helped.
That put him more and more out there. I do think he got so many people to these rallies. You don't think they tacked something up on the bulletin board and everybody saw it, do you? I mean, it's
yeah, I got to say, Sanders' crowds are amazing. You know, they really are. Who would ever have thought that he'd raise all money, the way he has, instead of having a super PAC? It's amazing when
Minnesota.
You think about it, all the small contributions, all
money.
The people contributing. It is absolutely a miracle in a way.
It really is.
Money,
it is.
Money,
it's healthy.
Gentlemen, I would say money is not buying this election. It's not about money.
Let's hope not.
Yeah, well,
and
I take great hope and faith in that aspect that, the big donors like the Koch brothers or the Me Toos of those type aren't buying their election. I tell you what, there's a lot who funded Jeb Bush that are sitting there saying,
oh, exactly.
Boy, did I piss
but, you know, we're just
away.
Talking presidential politics, people. You've got to remember, too, the Koch brothers' work is cruising along very nicely at the legislative level in both the state houses and the federal government, and that's why we have this logjam of nothing going on, because these people are cemented in there, and they're not going anywhere soon, barring a miracle. We got to make that miracle happen.
I think that Cruz and or Trump could be so disastrous that they'll create a real wave election. I really hope
so. Let's hope so. Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen what the Democrat candidates are up to, but
Democratic.
Democratic, sorry about that, George. What they've been up to, there is a Democrat running in the state of Arizona against John McCain. And her commercial is nothing but John McCain supporting Trump. And the end of it, it's a picture of McCain from his old Country First. In his last campaign, and it says, you know, John McCain used to put country first, but the last thing on it was John McCain saying he'd vote for Trump if he was the Republican, and that's going to win her. That, I bet you, can win her that seat.
Yeah, I got to say, these Republicans all who attacked Trump, and then they said they would back him and vote for him.
Yeah, they did that, right.
How can they say that, especially Rubio, after what he said, you know?
Well,
I'm amazed.
How screwed up that party is right now. They are completely screwed up, and I wish them every defeat in the world possible. They deserve it.
Trump has been a gift. If you take a look at how Hillary has been handling what Trump has been doing. I get her emails, and she says a few things, but when you catch her on camera, she is talking about the indecency of what Trump says and what the Republicans.
Oh, she's taking them on head on. That's great.
And she, yeah, and I think Bernie is doing a bit of the same.
Mm-hmm.
I heard something day before yesterday. They're still not giving Bernie as much time as they are.
I was going to say, if Trump
is
vulgar to Hillary in the debates, if they are the two candidates, I can't imagine any self-respecting woman voting for him. I can't.
Oh, there you go.
Right.
Either they stay home or they'll vote for Hillary. I mean, it's bad enough to be vulgar with fellow men, but to do with a woman? Even like when he did the Carly Fiorina, making fun of her face? That wasn't right.
Oh, yeah.
Gentlemen, we are out of time. I'm really sorry. We've already
had a great time.
Thank
you for having invited me.
It's been a really great show.
Good to have you again.
Let's do this again sometime before the election.
We got to have you back.
I guarantee it, Professor.
Thank you.
We shall.
Ronald, please tell people where they can find the name of your book and where they can find it.
Okay, again, my name is Ronald Feynman, Assassinations, Threats, and the American Presidency, from Andrew Jackson to Barack Obama. Roman Littlefield Publishers, if you go on the Roman Littlefield website, you can save 30%. Otherwise, you can also get it at Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Books A Million. And I'm sure you'll have a great read.
I'll mention your blog site and anything else that, where people
the blog is theprogressiveprofessor.com. And in fact, you can look at all my interviews and my articles on there on the right side. And of course, I've written more than 5,000 entries since 2008 on my blog. I do just about every day, sometimes more than one a day. And I've had more and more readers, and I hope I'll have more and more. And I encourage that.
Yes.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you, gentlemen. I want to everybody for joining us. We'll be back at 6 p.m. next Sunday with the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters. Good night,
remember,
gentlemen.
To turn your clocks ahead 1 hour because daylight saving starts next week. And next week, very briefly, you can read about her at the Saturday Afternoon Post. I have a post up right now announcing our next guest, Eleanor Goldfield, who's a tremendous young, great activist who's on Free Speech TV, and it highlights her and her program, and we'll interview her live next Sunday. So remember to tune in next Sunday at the same time, only an hour ahead of time, you set your clocks ahead 1 hour because of the time change.
Okay. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you. Keep pushing forward, everybody.
All right. Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night.